morning, St. Luke's. Here are your announcements for today. Coming up in probably mid-July, Leanne is going to be leading a new study group on racial justice. We'll be doing this in conjunction with Woodland Presbyterian Church. So if you're interested in that, watch for details. We'll make sure those go in the email newsletter and in the service announcements as we get more information on that coming up. And thank you for filling out your survey results. We're still getting a couple of those trickling in. So if you haven't had a chance to fill out your survey, we would love for you to do that. And if you need a paper copy, please contact the church and we will get one in the mail to you right away. Our preacher this morning is the Reverend Betsy Monnet. I want to thank Betsy for being with us again, and everybody enjoy the service. Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us, that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, Abraham, father! And he said, Here I am, son. He said, The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I have perplexity in my mind and grief in my heart day after day? How long shall my enemy triumph over me? Look upon me and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, lest I sleep in death. Lest my enemy say, "I have prevailed over him," and my foes rejoice that I have fallen. But I put my trust in your mercy. My heart is joyful because of your saving help. I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt with me richly. I will praise the name of the Lord Most High.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you are entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you get from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple Truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Here ends the reading. This week's reading from the Hebrew Bible is a doozy. No one likes it, and we might even kind of secretly wish that it would go away. Really, who wants to believe in a God who asked Abraham to sacrifice his own son? Okay, at the very last minute, an angel told Abraham not to do it, but seriously, what a trauma to put both Abraham and Isaac through. It is really problematic. Now, it helps to remember that these stories were passed down from generation to generation, not necessarily as a way to preserve historical facts, but as a way to remember how God had been present in the world from the very earliest days. Early in Abraham's story, God promised to give him descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky. But then no child was born to Abraham and Sarah for years and years and years. God repeated the promise, but still no child. Finally, they both got too old for the possibility of children. They still believed in God's promise, but they knew that sometimes God's promises don't look like what we think they'll look like. So Sarah suggested that Abraham have a baby with her servant, Hagar, and that Sarah could take that baby as hers and that God's promise would be fulfilled through that baby. Actually, for the time and the culture, it's pretty logical thinking. So that's what happened. Except that it didn't work out the way that Sarah and Abraham had thought. Hagar did get pregnant, but then Sarah wasn't happy with her and treated her so badly that Hagar ran away. Hagar only returned to Abraham and Sarah because an angel of God met her in the wilderness and convinced her to go back. So then 13 years after Ishmael, Hagar's baby, was born, God had another conversation with Abraham and reiterated the promise. Abraham believed that this promise had gotten to the point of absurdity, given that he was 99 years old and Sarah was 90, and he begged God to consider Ishmael to be his heir for the purposes of the promise. But no, God said that Sarah would have a baby the next year, and the baby's name was to be Isaac. And that's what happened. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 91. So, what does the story so far say about God's relationship with God's people? God makes a promise to Abraham and Sarah, and they fulfill their end of the bargain. They leave their home and families and travel to a new land at God's direction. Time passes. Abraham makes some blunders, such as trying to pass his wife off as his sister, but God still reiterates the promise. More time passes, and Abraham and Sarah take things into their own hands, and Ishmael is born. God won't have Ishmael as the fulfillment of God's promise, although God does promise to bless Ishmael and make him a great nation because of Abraham's love for him. God insists on fulfilling the promise in God's own way, even though by now, according to the story, it is biologically impossible. Finally, the impossible actually happens, and Sarah gives birth to a baby boy who they name Isaac, as God had told them to. We see that God stays faithful to God's promises. We see that even when Abraham isn't necessarily always behaving in as upright a manner as he should. And we see that God fulfills God's promise even when any human would say it was impossible. And so we come to today's reading. Can you imagine Abraham's heart sinking when God told him to take Isaac and offer him as a burnt offering? What went through his mind? I'm sure that he thought of refusing. Any parent would. But in the end, he didn't refuse. He brings Isaac out and goes to the place that God had shown him. He tries to keep Isaac calm as they walk, and he answers Isaac's logical question, "Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" by telling him that God would provide the lamb. Remember, Abraham had experienced firsthand the ability of God to do impossible things. Maybe he expected that God would not really require Isaac's death. Or maybe he was just continuing to try to keep Isaac as calm and happy as possible for as long as possible. But then the moment comes. Abraham binds Isaac and places him on the altar on top of the wood. He lifts the knife to kill his son, just as he had killed so many other sacrificial sheep or goats before. What was going through his mind? What about Isaac? What was he thinking, if anything, besides just being terrified? And then, as we had hoped from the beginning of this story, God stops Abraham from killing Isaac. Abraham has passed God's test by demonstrating his willingness to sacrifice even his only and beloved son at God's command. Abraham sees a ram whose horns had gotten tangled in a nearby thicket, and Abraham sacrifices the ram in Isaac's place. Again, the historicity of this story is irrelevant. The fact is that it is part of our biblical heritage, and so we need to look at what the story says about God's relationship with humanity. What I read is that sometimes God seems completely unreasonable. Maybe God calls us to do something that we know will damage a relationship, or will risk harm to us or to someone we love, or feels like it would just hurt way too much. Maybe God calls us to be prepared to sacrifice something that we truly love, not sacrifice by putting on an altar and killing and burning, which was a common activity in Abraham's time, but give it up because it is a barrier between us and truly following God. If God's request to Abraham that he sacrifice Isaac was just a test from the very beginning, as the text tells us, then God never had any intention of truly letting Abraham kill Isaac. But Abraham had to recognize and demonstrate that he believed in God's promise so completely, and remember, he had already sacrificed a great deal in living into that promise, that Abraham believed it so completely that he was willing to follow God's instructions, even if they couldn't possibly make any sense and he could only see the pain that they would cause. So one thing that Abraham experienced several times in his life that you and I likely don't experience in the same way is direct conversations with God. I mean, God just showed up and talked with Abraham, told him about what to do, had some back and forth with him. Abraham knew what God wanted and what God's promise was because God just told him straight out directly in so many words. You and I, we're different from Abraham. Now, if you find yourself having these direct back and forth conversations with God like Abraham did, I would love to hear more about that. But in general, people like us have to rely on many different tools in order to be able to hear God. Sometimes folks hear words or a voice. sometimes there's a sense or a feeling. And sometimes God communicates more through an awareness of what brings joy or what brings pain. We move toward the joy and away from the pain. Now, sometimes moving toward the joy includes enduring some necessary pain. So one example I can think of is that God, in calling me to seminary in Berkeley, that was a joyful experience, a joyful call, but that also required me to move across the country, away from my home and community, which was painful. So I could have reacted to the call to seminary in Berkeley by refusing, because it would have been too painful to move away. We are not always called to avoid pain at all costs. So I wonder, reading this story at this time in our history and our culture, with cases of COVID-19 rising across our country, with a renewed awareness of the sin of racism and how deeply embedded it is in our society, with political questions facing us that have long-lasting consequences, with climate change, with so much more, I wonder what we might be called to sacrifice. What does God want me to be willing to sacrifice? What sacrifice might be painful to me, but would be beneficial to others of God's children? What sacrifice do I need to make to help me be more aligned with God's desires for our world? What about you? Maybe all that we can think of right now is some tiny little thing, not like sacrificing your own child. Something maybe hardly even worthy of the name sacrifice, but that's okay. After all, Jesus said, "Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." We can start with a cup of cold water. How much further can we go in our willingness to sacrifice in order that God's will might be done on earth as it is in heaven? Amen.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Prayers of the People.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, hear our prayer. Let us pray for God's people across the world, God of love.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth that we may treat her gently. God of love.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our families, our friends, and our neighbors. God of love.
Hear our prayer. We remember especially Noni. Who is on your heart this morning?
Us pray for those who are sad or scared or are suffering. God of love.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died. God of love.
Our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with God and the Holy Spirit you live and reign now and forever.
Amen.
Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.